Hi everyone, and welcome to the Product Marketing Insider podcast. I'm Lawrence Chapman and I'm a copywriter here at PMA. This episode is sponsored by Fletcher CSI, experts at win-loss analysis as well as competitive primary research projects. Fletcher CSI's reports are clear, actionable and strategic, with their work being used by the top brands in tech. They balance skillful research with the latest tools, including win-loss management and competitive market monitoring platforms. For more information, visit FletcherCSI.com/technology. Today, I'm thrilled to be joined by Mary Sheehan, Head of Product Marketing at Adobe Advertising Cloud. Mary's an experienced product marketer with experience in launching new products, positioning for growth and creating go-to-market strategies, and much more. Mary's also a fellow podcaster and has recently wrapped up the first series of her show, Women in Product Marketing. Welcome to the show, Mary.
Thanks, Lawrence. Glad to be here.
Oh, and we're glad to have you on the show. Thanks so much. So just to start off, congratulations on the first series of Women in Product Marketing. So if you could just let us know, first of all, what prompted you to begin the show in the first place, and if you could also tell the listeners a little bit more about it, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you. We just wrapped season one. It was really an amazing experience. It all came about kind of as an intersection of two things I've been really passionate about over the last, let's say, 5 or 10 years, which is mentorship, especially for women, and also product marketing. So I teamed up with the folks over at ShareBird, who have launched a number of great podcasts as well for product marketers, and pitched them this idea on women in product marketing. And here we are. But it's been a wonderful experience, especially with the times we're in right now virtually, to be able to network, to be able to scale these conversations and really kind of like what you're doing, give back to product marketers that are newer in their careers or people that are thinking about getting started, give them a little bit of a sneak peek into what types of work product marketers do and some of the unique challenges that we as women face in business, especially in leadership positions. So it's just been a really wonderful experience, and I've had a blast doing it. And we've had some amazing guests, like from Uber, from Shopify, from Figma, from New Relic, and we've gone all the way up to CMO. So it's been really great to show not only product marketing women in leadership, but also how this has become a foundational role now for the CMO level as well. So all great things, and season two is going to kick off again in just a few weeks. So really looking forward to that.
Oh, congratulations. So where can the listeners find the podcast and check it out?
Yeah, so it's anywhere podcasts are available. Just search for Women in Product Marketing on Google, Apple Podcasts. You can also go to sharebird.com, another product marketing peer networking site, and search for the show there if you'd rather listen online.
Okay, fantastic. And moving on to your personal career in product marketing. So what is it that made you want to become a product marketer in the first place?
Yeah, definitely. I think it was really about assessing the role I was in at the time, which was an account executive on the sales side working at a really large company, working at Google at the time, and understanding that I only really liked about 25% of my job. And that was creating these stories and presentations that other people would end up using for their client presentations and coming to me kind of for advice for things like objection handling and how to actually convey these complicated topics. So little did I know it, but I was really doing the sales enablement part of product marketing. And so when I took a good look at, you know, what I liked about what I was doing at that time and what I wish I was doing more of, it was really this aspect of product marketing. So I started to talk internally. You know, it was great to be at a big company and be able to kind of make the jump because they had, you know, the infrastructure to be able to try that and take a chance on me. But that was what really got me hooked in the beginning, was understanding a little bit more about what product marketing is, and that was the part of the job I liked the most. So why don't I just take a chance at doing it full time? And then, of course, I realized kind of moving over that that was just one part of the toolkit, the sales enablement piece of it. There's many more aspects of product marketing, but it was a great intro and a great opportunity to be able to move internally at a company like that. And that was a long time ago. I want to say about 10 years ago at this point.
Okay, awesome. So from your first exposure to product marketing, can you talk us through your career path from then to now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I did the product marketing individual contributor role for, I want to say, about 3.5-4 years. And really, I got thrown into the deep end. So now, in hindsight, I always thought it was normal to have, you know, five product managers that you're working with, be managing, you know, global launches at all times, be working with executives on speech writing, content development, running case studies. But now when I am looking at what I was actually running back in my very first job, it was a lot. It was actually probably a little overloaded for my very first product marketing job. But the good thing about that is, being thrown into the deep end, I really did get to build out the toolkit of product marketing and really understand all the different facets of it. So once I left Google, I was there total in about 7 years. So once I left, I got that 7-year itch. I went over to a smaller company called AdRoll that was about 500 people, a global ad tech company. And I joined as a senior product marketer, but I kind of got a lucky shot in that my boss at the time ended up moving on just a few months after I had joined the company. So one of the benefits, as you probably talked about in your show, from being at a smaller company is often those opportunities kind of afford themselves really quickly. So all of a sudden, I found myself the head of the product marketing team. So a lot of different challenges there, you know, figuring out how to structure the team, make sure that they weren't as overloaded as I was, you know, in my early career, and really got to grow as a manager and leader there, and, you know, still keep in contact with almost everyone from that original team. And it was just a really great experience. So from there, after I ran the team for about 2-2.5 years, I actually became a consultant for product marketing. So I started a consulting firm and really specialized on things like messaging workshops, launches. I also did a lot of competitive intelligence work for companies and built a business that I was able to run and, you know, pay the bills with for about a year. And then after doing that, I got hired by one of the companies that I was working in-house with. And they did the startup thing for a couple more years. So I joined a company called Social Chorus, which was a 100-person work front. Sorry, I'll restart that. I joined Social Chorus, which was a 100-person workforce communications company, as their senior director. And they are awesome. Check them out if you don't know about them. They actually have a conference coming up, a free conference with Malcolm Gladwell. Had a ton of fun working with them because it was a little bit more in the experience set of B2B and B2C. We were working on not only selling in at the enterprise SaaS level, but also really thinking about how to make sure that employees at these mega companies were actually using our products. So it was really this sort of marketplace type of approach. And for me as a product marketer, I'm always interested in growing, kind of learning my skill set. So that was really an amazing experience. So then from there, I joined Adobe. So I have had a wonderful experience here so far. It's great to be back in a big organization. I think I'm kind of looking at my career right now as a bit of a pendulum swing, where, you know, it's been bookended so far by these really big companies with some, you know, smaller stops along the way. But I think you learn a lot from joining companies of different sizes that are in different stages. You learn tons of different leadership capabilities from the people that you're working really closely with at these smaller companies. And then at the bigger companies, you just have so many resources. You are able to work cross-functionally with so many different teams. So I think it's really been a fun experience for me to see both sides of the coin, and then to be able to actually, you know, be a manager and a leader in that capacity too in product marketing has been a really fun journey for me. And I'm excited for whatever the next step holds.
Oh, sounds exciting. And I'm glad that you actually kind of delved into the difference between working at a larger organization as opposed to like a smaller company, because I was actually going to ask that next, like, what was it like? So just looking at the consultancy side of things, if you don't mind. So yeah. Obviously with what's been going on in like the last year or so with the
pandemic that we've been stuck in, with quite a few product marketers almost veering into the consultancy side of things or being forced into the consultancy side of things. What would be almost like your piece of advice for anybody who may be considering beginning to start their own venture in that particular area? What, you know, what did you find worked for you when you were doing your consulting as a product marketer?
Yeah, I think that's such a great question. And I don't have a silver bullet answer, but let me share a couple of things that I think might be helpful. So I think first of all, starting off, you want to test out a lot of things, just like you would marketing a product. You kind of are now marketing yourself. So, you know, I spent a lot of time thinking about brand building, how I would reach customers, how I would, you know, engage with them. But really, you're going to have to try to test out a few things or many things and see what works for you. So for me, what ended up being the most successful was a couple of things. One was really networking. I got the most of my clients from warm leads. So telling people, you know, on LinkedIn, telling kind of weaker connections, as they say, that I was, you know, in the market. And then a couple of people in particularly introduced me to those that eventually ended up being my clients. So make sure you're networking. I spent a lot of time on a website and a blog, but really, I don't think I got any clients just organically. It was all based on relationships. So don't be afraid to, you know, tap into those networks that you know and tell people that what you're offering, what you're doing. I would also say there's still a lack of understanding for what product marketing does for many people, especially at the CEO and founder level. So when I was starting off, my sweet spot ended up being with Series A and Series B companies. And a lot of the CEOs and founders that I got introduced to, because that's who you'll be working with usually at that size of company as a product marketer, they didn't know what to do with me. You know, they were sort of trying to understand how I would fit in. You know, for them, they were trying to maybe hire me part-time, which I didn't really want to do at that moment. So trying to find a way to communicate your value and what you can offer in a bite-sized way, I think would be really helpful to you. So whether it's a package of hours that you're selling, or you're selling a product launch in a box, or a toolkit to help them get started with their competitive intelligence, whatever it is, think about it like a product marketer would, and actually package your offerings and make it easy for them to buy. One really, really tactical thing too, if I can, is that a lot of these companies too have a set budget. So if you're able to kind of give them the upfront cost of what something will be, or even a monthly cost, they'll be a lot more comfortable with that than something like, yeah, just hire me on retainer forevermore. You know, they're really thinking about what they're going to put into an investment and what they're going to get out of it. So just being really, really clear about that. And hopefully that can help you get it started. But yeah, network, think about what your value is and what you bring to the table, package it well, and then make it easy for people to buy your services. And hopefully that helps. I'm happy to chat about that more with anybody that's interested. It's always a kind of a work in progress, and I'm actually still at it. I do have one client, don't have a ton of time for it right now, obviously with the full-time gig, but it's something I think that for me helps to keep me fresh and helps to make sure that I'm understanding and knowing the nitty gritty of product marketing and making sure that my skill set is keeping up to date too. So I enjoy it. I think I'll come back to it and back and forth throughout my career forevermore. So looking forward to keeping that part of the business going.
Okay, great. And looking at the role that you've got at the minute at Adobe, if there is such a thing, what does a standard day in your role look like? And I know that this question, I've asked it so many times and people are like, there's no such thing as a standard day, but I always ask anyway. So I'm going to fire that one your way as well, Mary.
Yeah, definitely. No, I actually laughed when I saw this question too, because there is no typical day. And that's what I love about product marketing actually, is that there is no typical day. So one day, my day might look like I'm meeting with the leadership team with the Adobe Advertising Cloud. I'm having some sync up meetings on some big projects. So for example, right now we are in the midst of launching something called task forces to help our internal folks focus on specific areas within the business, which I think is going to be really exciting. Then I'll pop into a sales meeting to understand how our pipeline is doing, where we can impact that. And then I might head over to a creative review for some new demand gen assets that we are launching. And then maybe I'll have a bit of a break to work on an upcoming presentation that I have. And then I'll hit the phones with a client or two to actually talk to them about an upcoming customer advisory board. So that's just a kind of a hodgepodge of some of the things. I think that was an actual day that I had last Monday, but there's a lot of different things that we're working on. I think for me too now in the management position, one thing that I've really liked doing is, first of all, blocking off time so I can actually have some heads down work. So my perfect day would actually be, I have, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hour chunk in the morning to work on messaging, to work on any kind of, you know, white paper content, to do review things that my team, you know, to just really have that heads down time. And then I've also found, especially in the virtual world, I love having unstructured time, at least three times a week, where people can pop in and we can talk about whatever. So on my team, twice a week, we have something called product marketing power time, which is basically anyone can bring a topic to review or brainstorm, and we all kind of just get to, you know, weigh in on it. And then I've also just recently started office hours for myself, just 1 hour a week, no structure, come in, we can hang out. Last time, some of the team members came in and we actually were talking about the Product Marketing Alliance and my presentation from a year ago and how I kind of got, you know, hooked up with that and how to move forward with that. So the structure can be free flowing. And I think it's really important right now to have some time and space for that, especially with your team, because you don't get to see anyone in the office. You don't have those serendipitous coffee talks anymore. So I'm really enjoying the days where we have that kind of unstructured conversation. And then also when I have work time, you know, in addition to the meetings and projects and things that I'm working on. So anyways, very long-winded, but you know, there's never a day in the life. You're always working with many different stakeholders, but I think it's really important right now to make the time for yourself to accomplish those goals that you've set out to do.
Yeah, I love that. excuse me. I love that almost like open door policy that's in place there. it's so important, particularly in the current circumstances, just to put that in place for for yourself as well, for yourself, your team, just everyone, and to make sure that you know everyone's got that support, because it is, you know, to coin a little bit of a cliche, but it is an unprecedented time that we're going through at the moment. Nobody knows how to deal with it. And so to have that opportunity to speak with people and just to get a little bit of FaceTime, I think that's really important. And it's refreshing to see that it's being valued at Adobe. So I think that's great. So in terms of your actual team that you have in place, can you just give us a little bit of an indication of what that looks like in terms of both numbers and roles, please, Mary?
Yeah, definitely. So I'll share that our team is a medium-sized product marketing team. I would say medium to large, and we're actually organized functionally. So functionally, I mean, we're not organized by products on the advertising cloud side. We actually took to heart the pragmatic marketing framework. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but it's basically a set of tools from, you know, build to post-launch that helps kind of product managers and product marketers really align on their objectives and how they're working together. So on the product marketing side, we're really organized functionally from sort of that product strategy to launch, sales enablement, and even training. And each person has a lane that contains a few different functions. So if you were to look at the map of it kind of from end to end, it tells this story of kind of the birth of a product to, you know, post-launch and enablement and training. And what I've liked about this structure, which is different than how I've organized teams in the past, you know, usually I've done it by either vertical or, you know, business like SMB versus enterprise, or even product. So if you have multiple products in your portfolio. But what I like about this functional approach is that it lets all the team members work together. So they are able to kind of have this handoff process that we've really fine-tuned. And they all understand that they're all invested in the success of every product and project that we work on. It's not just, you know, one person is, I am, you know, this product owner and this is my show. They're all kind of part of this higher level team and we're all working towards those same goals. So I really like it from that aspect. And then as the years have progressed with this, or as the quarters have progressed rather, people's roles have begun to evolve too. So as they've gotten more comfortable in this functional setting, they've been able to expand their opportunities and take on more within that functional setting too. So it's been a really cool setup and I'm really happy with it. And I think that's something that I would, you know, do in the future as well. But I do have to say shout out to my team. They're amazing. I feel really lucky. I don't know how I landed such an awesome team at Adobe, but everyone is so curious and motivated and brilliant. And it's just been a pleasure working with them, and they are just crushing it. So it's been great. I got really lucky. And so they're game for all my wild ideas, and we've been able to make it work, I think, pretty well with this structure.
Yeah. And almost like, just again, you know, just going past like the past 12 months, how have you kind of like adapted your previous way of working internally to, I mean, you know, the shift towards more remote working? How have you changed or adapted your practices to kind of like sustain what was in place beforehand, if you know what I mean, to make sure that that level of cohesion, if you like, remains intact? And that, because I imagine it can be quite easy for some teams within some companies to really feel the effect of what's going on at the moment. And as you say, you know, you've got this, you know, great relationship. You know, in some companies, it will be a case of these relationships, you know, they might break down because they're not seeing everybody every day. They're not in the office. What have you done, or what's been the secret at Adobe that's helped you sustain those relationships and sustain that performance?
Yeah, definitely. So I would go back to a few of the things I mentioned with the unstructured meetings during the day. But I also think our team has done a great job of having some virtual social events. So at least once a month, we'll get together and have a fun happy hour. And sometimes we play a game. Scribble's a game that's one of my favorites. It's like a Pictionary and everyone is terrible at it, so just cracks us up. So we spend the time to actually get together and socialize. And I think that's, you know, we're all go, go, go. And it's hard to make the time for that, honestly. And I'm a mom, I have a 20-month-old son, you know, it's hard to, you know, find the time with childcare and all of that. But I think it's such a worthwhile thing to just make sure you're connecting with people as human beings, and that you are able to, you know, make sure that you have those relationships. I also got this great idea from Seema Kumar, who is on my show. She's the CMO of New Relic. And it's to start off your team meetings with some good news. So for the first 10 minutes of every team meeting that we have once a week, I have everyone go around and do some good news. So either in their personal or professional life. And I think at first everyone hated it, and it can be awkward. And sometimes people say, you know, I didn't have anything good happen this week, but I have a really hilariously disastrous story. Can I tell that? So anyways, it's kind of given us all a little bit of an insight into each other's lives in a way that I don't think you would get necessarily otherwise in a virtual environment. And then another channel, if I'm sure most teams and most people listening to this have something like this at least, but we use Slack, and I would say about 90% of our PMM team Slack conversations are more fun and kind of conversational. Definitely there's things on there that are more, you know, tactical. Hey, can you review this, or I have this deadline, or can you come support me at this meeting or the stakeholder review or something like that. A lot of it's sharing articles and having conversations about PMM topics or industry topics. And then a lot of it is gifts about funny things that we're doing or baby pictures from those on the team that have kids. So I think, you know, I think some leaders might look at some of those things as kind of frivolous or things that, you know, aren't meeting the bottom line. But, you know, frankly, this is a marathon, not a sprint. And I really enjoy it. I love coming to my virtual office and meeting with these people that I work with. And I think having some time with them in a social way that you can really make sure you're connecting and seeing each other as human beings is really, really important to maintain this, because we're all missing out on, you know, those serendipitous coffee chats, as I was talking about, and the fun work happy hours and all of that stuff. So we've had to make some changes to be able to have those moments still. So those are a few for my grab bag that have worked well and I've enjoyed, and I think have kept the team together and motivated and, you know, excited to be part of the team and connect with each other.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'll be stealing Scribble?
Scribble, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to suggest that to the PMA team, and we can use that on our next social.
Yeah, really fun.
In terms of teams outside of marketing, so such as sales, product, operations, etc., which departments would you say that you interact with most at Adobe, and what's your relationship with them like?
Within our organization, I work most closely with the product team, of course. And then probably close second is the sales and go-to-market side. And then the strategy and operations team, which also includes BD. So all of these folks working with on many projects and probably on a daily basis, I'm getting to connect the dots with it. And actually, that's one of the things I love about product marketing is that you get to talk to so many people and you're working on so many different problems. I find it really fun to kind of, you know, never have that same day in the life as we were talking about. And then at a bigger company, we're also lucky to have the resources of, you know, a broader demand gen team, a broader product marketing team that meets regularly to discuss topics. I work with many counterparts for sort of industry level information and competitive intel and different presentation and event related topics. So I do need to think about things in the context of my stakeholders within my business unit and then the broader Adobe as well. So the list would be quite long. And you know, at the big company, especially working virtually, I haven't quite figured out everyone and, you know, who is who in the organization, but working through it. And I think that it's been really fun to kind of get to meet different people in different functions in that capacity, and then also get to share notes and connect with other product marketers in other business units and get to understand how they're doing things. So that's been something that's really been a delight for me at this company versus a smaller company where you're often the only product marketer, or you are a, you know, leader of a product marketer and you're rolling up with other managers. So I do like that aspect of it. And, you know, just getting to build all those stakeholder relationships is always really fun for me. One small story, I have a product marketing counterpart in another closely related product. And I told him one of my OKRs this quarter, or this year rather, is to become his best friend. So I'm building the stakeholder relationship. So I set the bar really high, and now we are working through how to do that. And it's been a wonderful partnership so far. So maybe you could use that too. You know, OKR is becoming best friends with people on your stakeholder list. Everyone has their own style, but I'm trying to have fun at work and, you know, enjoy the relationships that I'm making, as you can tell from some of the examples that I've given.
Yeah, no, I like that, because ultimately, you know, you are working every single day for, you know, hours at a time. So if you can't have fun at work, then, you know, you're on a bit of a hiding to nothing, really, aren't you? So totally. I think it's really important to set up those, you know, good relationships. And it's so nice to see what is looking like a really good culture that you guys have. And yeah, I like it. It's something that I wish everybody would do, like literally everybody would do. Like, we've got a great culture here at PMA, and that's something that I think transmits itself really well to the work that we do. And I can see that that's something that you guys take seriously as well. So that's always nice.
Definitely.
Was there any point in your career when, relationships with people in other departments have literally been like perfect? And why would that be the case?
Yeah, so I think that there have been various points in my career where I felt like the stakeholder relationships are perfect, at least with one division. And I think that is when there is a give and take of the resources that you're sharing, the ideas that you have, and just really, and I'm especially thinking about it on the product management side. You know, I think we're in a really good spot at Adobe, and elsewhere in my career, I think that relationship has worked really well when you're very open and transparent with each other. I think that product marketers suffer when the product management side says, hey, we have something, here you go, go launch it, go, you know, put some pretty slides together. It has to be a partnership from the beginning of the product birth, so to speak. So when you're doing that research, doing that market validation. And I think we have a great partnership with our product folks at Adobe, and that's really great. It kind of makes your job easier. It makes your job more fulfilling. And I think that it's really just about having open communication and letting the teams in earlier. So, you know, for any product leaders out there, or even product marketers to ask for this, get invited to the product management weekly meetings. See for specific product launches if your teams can go to their daily or thrice weekly stand-ups, their scrum planning. In the before times, as I'm calling it, I often encourage my team members to go sit with the product team half of the time. You know, go in the mornings, every morning, because you kind of hear those, that office communication about, features and the discussions that you might not otherwise hear in structured meetings. So of course that's hard now. So the equivalent of that today would be getting into the Slack groups that you're working on. So I think it really comes down to being invited to the party, having a seat at the table early, and then making sure that you are having a really open and great communication.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose a lot of it as well is just, being proactive. Be proactive as opposed to reactive. Almost just invest effort and invest time, as you say, get your hands dirty, really. It's like when you start a new job, isn't it? And the old adage of the easiest way to learn is just doing things rather than waiting for things. So I can see and totally see where you're coming from.
Many times in my career, I've at the beginning, I have faced resistance from the product team, the sales team, about letting product marketing in. And it's almost like I've done mini case studies or shown how we could add value for one project or for one team. And then it's like the floodgates open and they're like, oh, you guys should be on every project and every product. So sometimes, yes, getting your hands dirty, but picking a strategic project or launch or something where you could really show them what PMM can do, if you're not getting that invitation to be part of the process. So showing them what a true partnership can look like and how that value and ROI really outweighs the other way, I think can be a way to get in the door yourself if you're having problems with it.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, you've worked with some great companies, and you're one of the, internationally recognized company now. What would you say that the top three skills are that have helped you to get you are that have helped you get to where you are today?
Wow, that's a great question. I would say that one is always being open to learning, staying really curious. I think that especially with product marketing, there's not a college course on this that I know of. You don't come out of you know, university, knowing all the skill sets. So you have to kind of absorb on the job, and then also through, you know, great resources that folks like PMA have put forward. So definitely staying open and curious. I would also say being more of a generalist has really helped me. So there's this great book called Range that talks about the difference between Tiger Woods and Roger Federer as one example. So Tiger Woods kind of grew up as a specialist, you know, being, you know, drilled into the tennis world since the age of 10 months, whereas Roger Federer was sort of this all around athlete until, you know, he decided on tennis as a profession, I think in his late teens, early 20s. So I think being a generalist and not going super deep into one of the product marketing, you know, toolkit specialties has actually been really helpful in my career, because you, product marketing is a bit amorphous, and at different companies, it looks like a little bit different. It, you know, sometimes it can be a little bit more specialized, sometimes it can be a bit broader. So you need to be really adaptable. So I think having that generalist outlook and being able to combine that with the learning aspect has been really great as well. And then I think also not being afraid to try new things has been really helpful in my career. So, you know, for those of you that have dabbled in growth marketing and tried out different A/B testing elements and have really thought about new ways to approach your customers with messaging, I mean, all of those are really great. There's not a single formula that is going to work. So being really open to trying new ideas, whether it's new channels, new approaches, I think that has really helped me in my career too. So really kind of adding to that toolkit all the time. But those are three areas I think that have really helped me in my career overall and helped me keep going and be excited about this as a career path.
Okay, awesome. And we'll finish on two more questions. First of all, I was just wondering if you could outline what the process of introducing new products and features looks like at Adobe and how that compares to previous places where you've worked.
Yeah, so there's a lot of structure involved, which I think is really great. I think that the team has spent a lot of time on thinking about how that structured product launch process works from A to Z, you know, from the introduction of the idea, market validation, alpha, beta, rollout, post-launch, you know, making sure that it's successful, tracking adoption, retention, and engagement, all of that. So there are teams for everything that can kind of help you along the way. And that's been really amazing. And I think that the process is really, really well done. And I think that, you know, we use a tiering process, as I have at many companies, that help identify, okay, this is the biggest launch we're going to have at Summit this year, our, you know, digital event that we have every year, this year virtual, of course. We're going to go all out with that, have all the different resources. Or this is a tier three launch, which is very important to a certain customer segment, but, you know, the whole world won't hear about it. So I think the structure has been really great and to lean into here, and, you know, something that I personally love. Whereas at sometimes smaller companies, you are creating the structure. So you are creating that go-to-market plan, that checklist, how the process and timing work. So it has been nice to go somewhere where it's very dialed, and it's, you know, there's support throughout the way. And it's nice to have a bit of a machine behind you with a global company.
Oh, and to finish off, you know, it's been an awesome conversation. I've had such a nice time talking and, you know, seeing how your journey has kind of unfolded. So if there are any new or aspiring product marketers listening, what would be your advice for them?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And I would say, first of all, take advantage of all the resources. I can't tell you enough how lucky you are to be a new product marketer right now versus when I was starting off and there was not Product Marketing Alliance, there was not ShareBird, there weren't all these wonderful podcasts. So take advantage of this. You're already doing the right thing listening to podcasts like this. Talk to people. I think that, you know, Lawrence, you and I were talking about this before we hopped on the recording, but we have both learned so much just talking to other people through the podcast and through casual conversations that we're having with other product marketers. So making sure that you're connecting the dots, sharing ideas, networking with your fellow product marketers. People love that. Find your crew that you want to connect with. And then finally, build your toolkit. You might start off in one area of specialization of product marketing, and that's awesome. That's a great way to get started. Competitive intelligence or launches or messaging, but make sure that you're always building and adding to that toolkit so you can eventually become that generalist product marketer or that full stack product marketer, which is another term we can use for it. But I would say, you know, just have fun along the way too. You know, this is a journey. I think it's all supposed to be something that, you know, you are having a great time doing, and hopefully this career brings you a lot of joy. So if it's not for you, if it's not doing that, maybe, you know, try something else. Life is short.
On that note, Mary, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast, and all the very best with your respective podcast for Series 2.
For everyone still tuned in, thanks so much for listening. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please help us spread the word to other product marketers. Before we leave you to get on with your day, if you want to get involved, here are a few ways you can. If you're a product marketer and you want to come on the show and speak about your day, a specific topic, or your role in general, that's one option. If you want to flex your podcast hosting skills, being a guest host is another. And finally, if you or your company want to sponsor an episode, there's a third. Thanks again, and have a great morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are.